Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Mahotep, to everyone. Welcome to this special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and this has just been such a very, very interesting day with all kinds of stuff going on. I have a co-host tonight, fortunately, because I was having some problems calling in. And so fortunately, Sister Gabrielle is always, seems like she's always there to come in. And so she will be co-hosting with me for tonight. Hey, Sister Gabrielle.
Greetings, greetings.
Okay. So family, look, tonight what we wanted to do as we close out Women's History Month 2021, it tells you where my mind is at, because I'm really thinking about the 24-year anniversary of the Million Woman March, and that's one of the things that we wanted to talk about tonight briefly to get folks ready. But before we do that, we want to give thanks and praises to our Creator, and certainly we are very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Sister Gabrielle, can you see the boards on your end?
No, I'm not seeing anything. I'm just
Okay, no problem. Okay. So listen, family, this is what we want to do. We want to give you some information tonight, and what we're going to do again is get ready for this weekend, because this weekend we're going to do some special sessions, particularly for sisters who are already members of Million Woman March, Universal Movements in any capacity. Of course, that includes Black Women's Defense League, the Million Black Women Rising, and so forth. Now, today is the last day that you can get the special. There is a 50% discount on the Million Black Women Rising membership. So rather than it being $50 annual for the donation, it is only $25. But today is the last day, because this was our Women's History Month offer that we wanted to bring. Now, again, you have until 12 midnight tonight, but there will be another special membership coming up in May. In May, that will be for our Mother of Civilization Society. Okay, so if you missed this one, there will be another one coming up in May. Now, for this weekend, what's going to happen? We're going to start bringing in the international units. The international units are going to include a global initiative for women and girls of African descent. So as we get prepared for the 24-year anniversary, you're going to hear how we're also getting prepared for the 25-year anniversary, which will be global. In the meantime, we're going to get ready for things that's going on right here in the USA. And with that said, we want women that are in various groups, organizations, so forth, we're taking a delegation to Washington, D.C. Yep. Come October, on or around the 1st, thereabouts, we're getting ready to demand a meeting with President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Yep. Now, I know y'all think that's really kind of comical coming from me, don't you? I'm sure. What do you think about that, Sister Gabrielle? I found it kind of funny, too, to be honest with you. But,
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's funny. But see, once you understand the psychology and the strategy behind it, you kind of go, oh, okay, I can see that. And what it is that we do a lot of research. MWM sisters and brothers, our brothers in support, do a lot of research. And one of the things we're very committed to is making certain that our people know our history, and not just the history that most people know. That's all good, but there's so much of our history that is not being told, and particularly when it comes to Black women. Well, this being Women's History Month, we want to close it out with a bang. And that is to say, we're taking a delegation to Washington, D.C. to meet with the president and vice president. It doesn't have to be the same day or the same time, but we want to meet with both of them. And here's why. there was a incredible initiative that took place in October 1st, 1951. And that was led by great black women. Sister Gabrielle, you want to tell them a little bit about that? You don't have to read the whole article, but just give them a little snippet.
It was in 1951, and many, several of our sister saints were involved, and many powerful black women were involved, and they called for a meeting to go to Washington, D.C. to meet with the president. He didn't meet with them, so they stood outside on the lawn and protested there. But I think it was the Secretary of State that did meet with him, that did meet with them. And so they had that meeting, but the president and the sisters were they're like us today. They're our predecessors. And I had no idea that there was a group of women, but I'm not surprised considering that many of them are sister saints. So I'm really glad to be a part of MWM now, especially knowing that such powerful black women were there. And if you would continue talking about another topic, I could pull up the article and give a lot more information tonight.
Okay, sure. So just briefly, and family, we're going to revisit this in the very near future because we want sisters to sign up. But we want sisters that are representing any kind of group, organization, or whatever. It needs to be a delegation that is representing our people in some kind of way, shape, fashion, or form, okay? And it could be grassroots, it can be political, it could be educational, it doesn't matter, but you need to be a part of a group and representing that group. And what we're going to be doing is talking about some of the issues, but there are a few specific issues that we're going to be bringing forward at this time. Three of them are, of course, reparatory justice. Now, y'all know we need to have some real conversations with the president and vice president about reparatory justice. Also, of course, as they did in 1951, one of the key issues was the violence and abuse of black women and girls. That's right. In 1951, they was talking about it then. So what's going on now? Well, we're going to make sure that that gets dealt with for real. That means real programs, for lack of a better term, for our women and girls, including self-defense. Now, MWM has been working on several clubs, and we call them clubs because we don't want folks to get too intimidated, but clubs for other reasons as well. And so some of those clubs include archery, fencing, and riflery. That's right. We're looking to put together our own clubs, as they did years ago, but in this particular instance, it will be for and about self-defense, but also about professionalism, also about learning more about competition in a way that is positive and also competitive. And so we want to make sure that our women and girls have the same kind of opportunities that other women and girls have on national and international kinds of arenas. So, again, we're talking about maybe the Olympics, perhaps. We need to make certain that there are areas of the Olympics and other kinds of, things that our women and girls need to be involved in. And so certainly fencing, riflery, and archery, all three of them are featured sports or whatever they're called in the Olympics. So it's a win-win situation all across the board. We build self-esteem. We build the capability of, shall we say, self-determination in the context of self-defense. But certainly self kind of reliance in sufficiency. And not to even mention a profession, a skill. So these are some of the things that we're going to make certain that as we proceed in building the first global movement for women and girls of African descent, these are some of the areas that we now plan to pursue. And I dare say, I don't know any other women's group organization that's doing that, particularly black. So you know, MWM came out the gate, as they say, in a way that had never been done before and still hasn't been done. We've never had corporate sponsoring. We've never connected ourselves to a political party, although now we're creating our own, the Million Woman Party, for one, and several others. But you'll hear more about that later this year when we have our convention. A Million Black Women Rising convention is coming. How you like this, Sister Gabrielle?
I'm ready for it.
I know that's right. Well, let's see who's ready for this. Now, Sister Manira can tell you we've been working on this for quite a few years, and now we're bringing it forward. We were going to do it last year, but with the COVID and all the other stuff going on, we said, well, we'll just wait and do it for actually next year. But we're going to introduce some of it to you now. But the voting is going to happen next year, and it's this. In a few days, people will begin to observe, of course, the Earth Day / birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King. And, of course, in January, there was a national commemoration as in the context of a holiday. Well, what we're saying, meaning MWM and Universal Movements, we're saying it's time that there is a national holiday for a black woman. Actually, it's past time, but certainly the time is now for it to happen. So we know that some are still talking about the great Saint Harriet Tubman being on the $20 bill. I'm not sure who thought that up, but, you know, that's fine. But I can tell you that what we're talking about definitely came from a black woman and a black women's organ. And that is MWM. With that said, we are going to be introducing this year at our convention forums and other kinds of things that is going to take us further into establishing the campaign for there to be a national holiday for a black woman. Now, please note, we're going to do this anyway, meaning or whether the government accepts it. That will be good because, you know, for the sake of prosperity and things of that nature. But we're going to do it anyway, trust me. But again, this is something that our people should want. We have a holiday for a black man. Now, I can tell you we won't, to the best of our ability, let it get co-opted like we feel Dr. Martin King's Day has gotten. But, you know, we'll do the best we can. The bottom line is we're in the 21st century now, and that should mean that it is time for some new things, for some different things. And certainly, you know, one of my expressions I like from Albert Einstein, and I liked it even better when I found out that he was a close associate of the great Kwame Nkrumah, and that is, and you know, insanity, or one of the definitions for insanity is when you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Well, this is not doing the same thing over and over again. Therefore, we should be getting a different result, meaning there has never been an official national holiday for a black woman. That's pretty different. What do you think about that, Sister Gabrielle?
I think it's way past time. But they're going to throw Kamala in our face like they did when they said we got reparations when they gave us Barack Obama. So I know there's going to be a lot of pushback, but I do believe it's time. It's past time.
Yeah, they can't give us Kamala. I mean, no. We're talking about someone that is not still living, first of all. Secondly, we're talking about someone that has made tremendous contributions. So for our liberation as black folks, okay, so no, that's not what this campaign is about. Now, somebody else can do Kamala, but it won't be us.
Right. No, I was just comparing how they said that Mitch McConnell said when they gave us Barack Obama, they gave us Kamala, I mean, they gave us reparations, so I'm saying that they will try to do the same type of thing.
No, no way. That, I mean, that, you know, I hope they don't, because that would just really kind of indicate real asinine thinking and state of being. But, you know, they can stay or do whatever they want. The bottom line is what we want, and we're going to get it. There's one thing that most folks know about black folks, and particularly when black women make a decision to do something and do it collectively, oh, my gosh, that, you know, that's going to happen. So, again, family, come October, we will have things ready to begin this dialogue to a greater extent. We can tell you that there are three names that have been submitted that we have been talking about for the past, oh, gosh, how many years? I have to ask Sister Munira, because I don't even remember. We've been working on this for quite a while. Now is the time. But the three women who have been suggested is, of course, the great Saint Harriet Araminta Tubman. The other, of course, is Saint Sojourner Truth. And the other is Saint Rosa Parks. Those are the three women whose names have been submitted, whose, the discussion in our internal circles, those are the three who, you know, pretty much, you know, was kind of said, yeah, these are the ones that we really should be focusing on. And so that's what we've been doing for over at least 5 years now. We've been working on this project, getting it ready. So at any rate, come October, we will go into the next phase. And those sisters who are members will, in fact, select from the three, okay? The sisters and the brothers are part of our brotherhood. They will select the three. Now, what we want to do is a popular vote, and so we are going to ask, the masses to give us some feedback, but the final analysis or the final vote is going to be with our sisterhood and brotherhood, okay? So if you all are, you know, would like to be a part of that, you certainly can be. It's totally up to you. It is open, but you got to be a member, okay? So, again, if you want more information about that, you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Let me see. The other thing, what's going to happen this weekend is, again, we're going to have some special sessions on Saturday and Sunday, and they will be international because we are getting ready to launch some of our international components. One of them is our Africana Women's Marketplace, our global Africana Women's Marketplace. Many of you are probably aware of the fact that non-black, non-African women go over to Africa quite frequently. And in doing so, they go to various villages all over the continent, and they look at the wares, they look at the crafts, the art that women make, manufacture, et cetera, and they purchase those items, and then they bring them back to the States. And so a lot of our women depend on that kind of business. They depend on that kind of transaction or those types of transactions. A lot of our women, of course, are dealing with agriculture, but a lot of our women throughout the diaspora also make various things, jewelry, pottery, bags, clothing, and so forth. And those things are brought into the States and then sold even at places like Targets and Whole Foods and, you know, the large chain stores all over the country. But here's the issue. Why is it black women, African women in the U.S. aren't doing that to any degree of reality? Now, I do know some sisters that do it, you know, in the community. They go to the continent, they'll bring back stuff, and then the community will support it. And I'm not talking about that. This is the 21st century. We need to be doing business for sure, for real. Therefore, the Global African American Women's Marketplace will allow us to do that. Now, we've already started this process, the Celine in the Cameroon. Of course, we have our sister over in Gambia, Sister Rahima. You know, listen, there's no reason why African women from all over the world should not, could not be doing business online in this day and age. So what MWM has created is components that will allow us now to do business, okay, or at least we're getting ready to. And so it will be done online. We will be able to show you pictures, and we will have different kind of forums live and so forth. There's going to be auctions. There's going to be all types of things that will allow our people worldwide to see some of the art, the beautiful kinds of beadery, the beautiful kinds of pottery and other kinds of crafts that our women are, in fact, doing all over the world. And so now we will create our own global marketplace. What do you think about that, Sister Gabrielle?
I'm excited about that. Especially seeing how in Africa, China is coming in and stealing all the resources and the way that they're treating the natives. In fact, in more, I think it was Kenya, they opened a restaurant and said that there were no blacks allowed. And then today I saw a video where there's a gigantic gem that fills up an entire shipping container that they were taking out of the country to send back to China to analyze. So Africa has been raped by everyone, and it's time for us as black women of African descent to come together with our sisters there and work together and take back what belongs to us and for us and us alone to profit. And,
absolutely.
Being a woman about to get into a business, I'm excited to trade with our sisters globally.
Absolutely. And again,
I think is important is that we can kind of remove ourselves from the system of money when we begin to barter things of people's value.
That's right. But we're going to do it all because we know that currency is still going to be important. But again, you just raised a very important point that we want to stress to everyone. We will be doing bartering and exchange. This will be a part of our commerce kinds of interactions. We're creating or recreating systems. You see, most people talk about programs, and so we will too, and we will have them. But we're also talking about developing and advancing and creating our own systems, because you cannot go up against the system and not put something in its place. It just doesn't work like that. So it has taken us many years to understand some of the other dynamics of developing not only a movement, but also in strengthening a people and certainly nations, you see. And that has to be a part of the plan, because other than that, it's business as usual. Anyone can say that there's thousands of businesses all over the world, and in particular, as we, you know, see what's going on in our communities. Well, it may not be thousands of businesses in our communities now, but the point is we got to look a little beyond just, the same thing all the time. We've got to look at how we're going to really move forward in advance. And note, again, a people who do not have a homeland, growth and development is not going to be what you like or what you think it should be or what it should be, period. Now, again, we know that some of our people were here in this land, obviously, which is why we're not talking about totally abandoning this land. Now, note what I said, this land, which is a whole nother conversation, and that is the issue of plebiscite. We're looking to have a national plebiscite, hopefully around 2023, maybe 2024, but no later than 2024. We want to do pre-plebiscite sessions starting May, starting in May, will start holding virtual pre-plebiscite sessions. Now, what is a plebiscite? Good question. So I'm just going to say this for now, and then we'll save this conversation for our regular program on Saturday. We are getting ready to formulate in our communities, for those who do not know, what we call Black Human Rights Collectives, cadres, whichever you prefer, groups, that will assist in our people knowing on the grassroots level up what are certain things that you hear about, that people talk about. What are civil rights? I mean, really, what is or are civil rights? I mean, how does that operate and or not operate, shall we say? What are human rights? We have to start breaking this stuff down for our people and it not just be some cliches. Because even a lot of times when people talk about civil rights, they really don't know really what that is and particularly how that applies to the Constitution. Anyway, point being, we have got to make sure that we educate our people ourselves and make certain that they are ready to move forward. And so they must have proper information and I dare say what I call edification. That means the human rights movement, its collectives, its network will make certain that there's classes made available, some that we call poli-sci 101. Because there's a lot of things about politics or politics that a lot of people don't really know. Many just recently found out about the Electoral College, which has been around for, 250 years at least? But the point being, we are doing things and not really knowing what that is. We vote, but don't really know what the process is and you know, what it can do or cannot do. We have to make sure that our people know that. You would think, Tilly Gabrielle, wouldn't you think that the people who run for office and then do win, wouldn't you think that they would be providing some of this stuff for the community?
But I guess that's my answer.
Yeah, I guess that is a little hilarious.
Right, because wow. You don't want the people to know what they're supposed to actually do, because then they'll have to be held accountable for it.
Wow. Yeah. Well, what can we say? What can we say? I mean, it's just, oops, hold on one moment. Let me log in here. Okay, there we go. Yeah, well, we know that they're not going to do it, and at least not to degree of reality. They'll give some little form or session or whatever on some stuff. But, again, not to really grasp and understand certain things. At any rate, what we're going to do is make certain that is available and that our people do have a better understanding of some of those things. Again, let's go back to plebiscite. Plebiscite, and in this case, we're talking about pre-plebiscite sessions. It will introduce our people to the concept of what that is and why it's necessary. Before I give you that, for those who are interested in forming a Black human rights cadre, collective, network, or whatever in your community, now is the time to do so. Very, very important, because as we now proceed with the Recharge Genocide 21 project, every to have a committee established, a Black human rights committee, and that is for the purpose of interacting with your city government. Because we will be registered as a human rights entity all over the country. So when it's time to have certain types of conversations in order to make certain that there's a legitimacy, that has to be structured in a manner where the representation is flawless. So if not flawless, definitely not ambiguous and definitely not, you know, some other kind of madness. So for those who really are interested in being a part of the Recharge Genocide 21/Black Human Rights Movement, Now is the time to either start one in your community, meaning a collective, a cadre, or joining on to one. Okay, so again, if you want more information, you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can use our National Black Human Rights email address, and that is nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, nbproject@gmail.com. That's also our PayPal as well. And again, we'll get you set up. And so it's going to be, again, very important. For example, we're getting ready to request a meeting with the mayor here in Philadelphia to introduce him to the Black Human Rights Collective here in Philadelphia, because we will be submitting various kinds of information as well as proposals, for lack of a better word, when it comes to dealing with reparatory justice in some of its immediate stages. What does that mean? We have 21 points. So one of the 21 points is the freeing of our political prisoners. That's something that can happen on the local levels and can happen immediately, whereas other things is going to take more time, more work, more whatever. There's some things that can happen right now and should. And so the release of our political prisoners, now here in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, we have two, and that is, of course, Mumia Abu-Jamal and Baba Russell Maroon Schultz. Mumia has served 40 years. Russell Maroon Schultz, I think, have served like 50. Mumia will be 66 in a few weeks. Russell Maroon Schultz is like 70-something. Both of them have had COVID. Russell Maroon Schultz has stage 4 cancer and COVID, and Mumia had COVID and, of course, now congestive heart failure. So we're talking about reparatory justice. Let's start with releasing our political prisoners. Now, there will be a rally here in Philly on April the 10th. It will be also salute to the great Paul Robeson, Paul Leroy Robeson, who, of course, was part of the incredible work that took place in 1951. He and others went to the United Nations, taking the We Charge Genocide petition, went to New York, while William Patterson went to Paris, France. And so we will be doing something similar as kind of a reenactment, but certainly a little different, in that in December we're planning to take at least 400 delegates from different groups, organizations, to the United Nations to present what we call the letter of intent. The letter of intent will be accompanied with our first 1 million signatures that is affirming, supporting the position of We Charge Genocide. And again, we're talking about 21 areas of genocide. So it's not just police murders, governmental terrorism. It is, in fact, environmental racism, gentrification, mass incarceration, the COINTELPRO, the crack cocaine epidemic. I could go on and on, which we will. But again, there's roughly 21 points. And, of course, that means there has to be at least 21 demands. So these are some of the things that you're going to hear more about, particularly as the Black human rights collectives and networks throughout the country are established on the ground level in our cities. And, again, we encourage you to support in whatever way possible. This is historic, and, we feel really, really honored to be able to bring this kind of project and initiative into the forefront, representing Mother Callie House, or St. Callie House, representing, of course, as I indicated, Paul Robeson and William Patterson, but also Dr. Yusuf Clyde, also Dr. Robert Brock, also, of course, Malcolm X, who in his last 2 years was specifically focusing on the issue of Black human rights violations. And so these are some of the things that you're now going to hear and see us do to a greater extent, family, again this weekend. For those who are interested, for sisters in particular, brothers, you're welcome as well, but this is going to be dealing with making certain that our new initiatives are put in place, or at least the start of putting them in place. One of the groups that will be international is called AMAMA, AMAMA, A-M-A-M-A, AMAMA. Again, this is something that was discussed and formulated over the years. It didn't just happen. This has been a work in progress. And AMAMA, that new group, that new unit means a million African mothers ascending, AMAMA. A million African mothers ascending. So we will be ready for the 25-year anniversary with that group. And there will be an international kind of gathering that will take place next year with and for African women worldwide. So we'll be gearing up for it this year to get it ready. But I just want to give folks a little bit of insight as to where we're going, how we're going. And by the way, big ups to General Parker. He called earlier from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And again, with the way MWM is moving, we get ready to do business, shall we say, amongst other things. But certainly making certain that we are able to be financially stable to assure that our programs, our projects, and so forth can move forward in the way that they need to. We are so fortunate and blessed to have sisters and brothers who have, you know, really hung in there with us over the years. You know, there's been growing pains, needless to say, but we survived, and not only survived, persevered, and also, you know, really grew. And so now we're ready to do the things that we know that we need to do. Okay, so let me see. I think that was the primary stuff that we wanted to share with you tonight. One of the other things we wanted to convey about the Black human rights movement is our cadres in various cities all have certain kinds of assignments that have to be accomplished. One of them is, of course, the history of slavery, your city, in your state. We want to now document the history of enslavement of our people in your state. So again, the Philadelphia / Pennsylvania Black Human Rights Collective, that's one of the things that it will begin doing when we meet at the rally on April the 10th. We will begin to start researching certain things, not just certain things, but a lot of things relevant to being enslaved in Pennsylvania. And I can tell you, I've already started that process and had no idea that there was legislation passed in Pennsylvania that supposedly, you know, freed the slaves. Well, guess what? Come to find out. Now, this was before Lincoln's emancipation thing. Guess what, though? Even though the legislation passed and even though it helped some, there was some that was still kept enslaved. So when we talk about the emancipation that Lincoln, you know, did and whatever, well, guess what? And people say, well, that didn't free the slaves. Well, yeah, it followed suit from the first thing. Pennsylvania was the first state to pass that kind of legislation. However, the way that it read, it was something that was to happen gradually, and that is what the legislation said. This was gradual emancipation. Do y'all believe this stuff? I mean, I had no idea. So this is why it's so important that we do the research. So see, we're not just talking about, oh, we want reparations. We want reparations. Oh, yeah, we do. Not, no doubt about it. But we want also our people and the world to know that we're not playing with this, and we are going to be very astute and very intelligent in how we proceed. There will be no stone, no rock, nothing unturned. So, whew. All right, Sister Gabrielle, I guess we're going to close this session out. But before we do, we want to remind everyone that Sister Gabrielle is one of our paralegals. And very soon we'll be setting up shop in one of our first satellite locations here in Philadelphia, in the North Philadelphia area. And we're going to be, you know, getting ready for some very just incredible things right in the community. And again, this is our first location. We're looking to have 2, 3, 4, 5 more, okay, at least throughout the city. But first things are first. And it'll be offering a lot of different services, particularly for Black women, also children. And as our brother component grow and develop, which we're certainly looking forward to, you know, there'll be some specialized services for our brothers as well. Okay, and definitely for the elders too, by the way. Okay, so with that said, if you are in the Philadelphia area and you have some skills or some talents that you want to volunteer, we're going to be signing folks up soon. 1 hour. Hey, if our people just gave 1 hour of doing something in the community, do you have any idea what kind of difference that can make? Well, we're going to see, because, again, in a few weeks, that's what we're going to be doing, signing folks up who want to give us an hour of their time in one way, shape, fashion, or form in the community, doing something in our community. So, Gabrielle, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, for someone who's put in thousands of hours willingly, 1 hour is nothing. You know, you waste 1 hour scrolling online. You waste 1 hour watching some nonsense on television, a reality show, Real Housewives of whatever. You can put in 1 hour for your people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, again, family, we will be telling you more about that. The location that we're going to be at is called the Morris and Evelyn Ruffin Gathering Center, okay? It's a private kind of foundation that's being formed by one of the brothers here in Philly, and he wanted to pay tribute to his parents. And so he named the center after his parents, with the kind of vibration that his parents did in the community. His parents was community-oriented folks. His parents fed folks, clothed folks, you know, all kinds of things. And so he wants to keep their name and their legacy alive. And so it's called the Morris and Evelyn Ruffin Gathering Center. Oh, and by the way, Sister Gabrielle, here's a little tidbit for you that you didn't know, and of course our family didn't either. They literally are relatives of the great David Ruffin.
Oh, get out.
Yes.
My friend Omar Bishop was his road manager.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yep, because remember years back you used to hear about how David Ruffin used to come to Philly?
Yes.
Well, that's because he literally had relatives right here in Philly.
Wow.
Yep.
Something. I was just looking at his obituary on Omar's wall a couple weeks ago.
Wow. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Oh, and also, family, again, if you're in Philly and once the center is open, or it might be like a pre-opening or whatever, we're planning to do a major piece here in Philly to commemorate Philly International. Philly International, Gamble Huff. Many probably are familiar with the OJs and Teddy Pendergrass and Phyllis Hyman. All of them were a part of Philly International. Well, this year is the 50th year anniversary since Philly International was started, and MWM is going to do special salutes to the sisters with voices that were of Philly International. So we're talking about Patti LaBelle. We're talking about, well, really, whether it was with Philly International or not, we're going to be highlighting Black women, sisters with voices. So, of course, we're talking about Billie Holiday. We're also talking about Jill Scott. I mean, Dee Dee Sharp. I mean, there's so many black women in Philly that either were born here in Philly or lived in Philly for a while that made a contribution. We're going to highlight them for this year's 50th year commemoration of the Philly International, the Sound of Philly. And so we're going to tell you more about that in the very near future as well, including our talent search for our sisters, our Black Girl Choir. That's right. We're getting ready to call for auditions for our Black Girl Choir for Philly, taking that national as well. So that when we do our 25-year anniversary, we should have a choir, a national Black Girls Freedom Choir. Wow. You ready for that, Sister Gabrielle?
Yes, I am. Some real music.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, people be complaining and talking about stuff, you know, and we're like, well, what are we going to do about it? So we came up with something. And so we're going to start with our young girls. We got some other surprises for you coming, too, but we'll leave you with that one. All right. So listen, we're going to get ready to sign off. Sister Gabrielle, you got anything you want to share with us?
Yes. I just sent a text to you regarding Michael Jordan giving $100 million to black organizations. However, it's going to be in the form of a grant to assist black communities. And that just, I just saw that while we were online, and unfortunately it's taken a little bit. Oh, here it is. It says, Michael Jordan's brand taking next steps in $100 million commitment to the black community, and he and his Jordan brand company will launch a community grants program for social organizations assisting black communities through its apparel brand, and the funds, it says he's taking the next steps, and through his brand, the basketball icon will offer social organizations funds from a $1 million community grant program to help meet objectives in combating issues that plague black communities. But then I also saw somewhere, I had to do a little bit more digging, that he is also donating some money to the anti-Asian initiatives. I have to check and make sure that this isn't just something to placate us while they actually fund some other people that are actually oppressing us. I mean, when they talk about the anti-Asian violence, I'm like, well, what about what they do to our people? As I said,
oh my gosh,
in Africa, they have a restaurant in Africa that said Africans weren't allowed. A black woman in Africa, they were in her yard on her property stealing her diamonds, and one of the some of the people from the village found out, and they chased them off, and all the atrocities that they do to our people. And then remember when COVID hit, what they did to the black Africans in their country, put them out on the streets, evicted them from the hotels and their houses, and wouldn't let them go into certain places. So this is just a mess. But I want to I can't be sure because I was just briefly glancing through, but I did see something attached to the anti-Asian violence program. So, and this is the first time that I know of that Michael Jordan has ever done anything for us specifically. So I'll be interested to see how this plays out. I'm going to listen to Dr. Boyce Watkins' broadcast on that when we get off the line. That's where I found out about it.
Right, right. Okay. Well, you know, needless to say, we have some things we're going to be sharing with our family in the very near future because, you know, we talked about it last week, I think it was, with Sachs Goldman or Goldman Sachs, whatever they call it. They're creating that $10 billion money campaign for black women.
A million black women.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's right. A million black women. Does that sound familiar? Anyway. Yeah, that just sounds so very familiar. I mean, we've been doing something called the Million Black Women Rising. We've been doing that, you know, for quite a few years now. But anyway,
yes.
I find this so amazing. But at the same time. You know, it's a little annoying, but nevertheless, we have a, shall we say, a comeback, or if not a comeback, we're going to produce something that we think is going to be very interesting. I'm going to save it and tell you a little later on about that. But they definitely don't know what they got themselves into. Let's put it that way. All right, my sister. So listen, we're going to close this session out. Family, unfortunately, we are not able to take any calls tonight. I cannot get access to my boards. I've been trying, and for some reason, I'm having some difficulties in doing so. So I'm not able to, you know, to see your, I'm not even see my board. So I can't bring any calls in. However, we will be ready for Saturday night's regular program. We wanted to begin telling everyone that we're going to take some very clear positions on some things, because we're starting to see more and more of this language of feminism. Sister Gabrielle, you sent me something earlier today, and I mean, I love the T-shirt. I think it was Support Black Women, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started reading the information, you know, it's not talking about, yes, black women, feminists, and all of that. What year is this?
Transgender. So it's not really about black women.
I mean, look, so we're going to make sure that people know what our positions are when it comes to certain things. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying what they're doing is wrong or anything like that. It works for them. So obviously it's okay for them, right? But that's not our position, family. We just want to make that clear. In this day and age, and again, we understand years ago, just like, you know, when folks was called colored, you know, years ago, that was the thing. So when white women came up with this thing called feminism, black women, I mean, we had nowhere to go, for real, for the most part. The average black woman had nowhere to go in terms of being organized, and I'm talking specifically on a national level. You know, we had a little something here and there, but again, when it came to a political philosophy, that was not happening. So black women ended up, you know, going into these other things. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's all there was. Well, that's not the case now. And so for those of us who, you know, understand, overstand, do stand, we're saying, no. That's somebody else's philosophy, ideology, train of thought, whatever. That's not us. We don't need to be doing that in this day and age. We're smarter than that. And here's a hint for you. Okay. So men who speak out for men or about men's issue, are they called manisms or what? I'm confused. Manisms? Is that what that's called? Or malaisms? What? So
something else that I found interesting about this I Support Black Women's campaign is outside of MWM, I rarely hear the term off-white.
I know. Isn't that something?
But that's because they're taking it and perverting it. What is perverting? I mean, it's just.
Isn't that interesting? But see, you got to love it. Now, I'm going to tell you, years ago, that stuff used to like, ooh-wee. It would just piss me off. I got to put it to you just like that. That stuff was so annoying when people would look at our stuff and then, you know, just, and I mean, we don't have any control or patent over, you know, certain words, but I mean, when you see that they are just, taking things out of context and you know the way they got it from. For example, we use the word off-white as opposed to white a lot in some of our dialogues, particularly in the sisterhood, because that's our way of conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you'll hear me say it periodically, internally, publicly, because we say off-white because when something is off, obviously there's something wrong, usually. And particularly when you, in our jargon and in our vocabulary or vernaculars, you know, we have this history of saying, oh, that person is off.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just something that we used to say. And so when I started thinking about white folks and their craziness, I started, yeah, these are off white people. Yep. Anyway, it's wonderful to be original. That's all I can say.
That's right.
It's a wonderful thing. And that's why, again, family, we're talking about the original black woman, who we also are going to be referencing as the ultra black woman. Again, we create our own language with MWM. Why? To differentiate the us from the them and the we and all that stuff. Okay? We have to do that now. Black women that want to represent are representing as black women, as the original mother, as the original woman, have to now be differentiated to the degree that we eliminate some of this confusion. Now, that's only normal and natural. How do we know that? Here's a perfect example. So amphibians, as a group, as a family, are, as in any group, they have their own divisions or their own interactions amongst themselves, right?
Yeah.
Every kingdom, for lack of a better word, they all interact within a certain realm, okay? The copper snake don't mess with the rattler like that. They don't, you know, they all reptiles, but they ain't cohabitating and they ain't doing stuff together like that. Okay, so any group, any species, look at the insect world, look at the bird world. The parrots are not getting with the chickens.
I know that's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The ostrich is not getting with the flamingo.
Mm-mm.
Right? The duck is not getting with the, you get my point, with the pigeon. You
right.
Get my point. But right. They're all in the same kingdom as they're called, right? So what am I saying? So we're all considered being human, for lack of a better word, right? That don't mean we all got to be together like that.
Correct.
Obviously.
Correct.
Obviously. Right? So this nonsense about, you know, oh, no. No. It's not even natural. It's not natural. It's not order.
I agree.
Right? I'm sure that our family can agree. Because it makes sense. And guess what? It's the truth. We said the Ma'atik epoch was coming. What does that represent? Truth, justice, reciprocity, order, balance, law, righteousness. Those are principles of Ma'at. And so that's what we're talking about, looking at those principles and striving and embracing them to a greater extent. So again, we're looking at balance and order. Again, we all are considered of the same type when it comes to mammal or human or whatever. All that's debatable to me. We'll have that conversation another time. But for the sake of, you know, just putting it into perspective for now, we do not all have to be in each other's worlds like that.
Uh-uh.
There's nothing wrong with that. And that's not to say that one is supreme over the other either, particularly to the degree that, you know, has been has really been inflicted. Let's put it that way. But the point being that we, meaning Black folks, have the right. This is why we have to bring these human rights issues up. We have the right to name ourselves, do whatever ourselves, even be at war with ourselves. That ain't nobody else's business, really. It really isn't. Okay, I mean, unless it just, you know, gets really, really crazy or whatever. But I'm saying there's a natural order in things, and people need to really know and understand that and stay in your lane. Stay in your lane.
I know that's right.
And that's been part of the problem. So when I hear white folks talk about, well, you know, they were in Africa and they had wars with each other. So what? Who woke up and made you God? I mean, really? Y'all didn't have wars with each other? And then you wanted us to come in on that with you? Yeah, see, no. People need to stop playing.
There was an off-white woman. I scroll through different news outlets all day. And I can't remember exactly what state it was because I read so much today where they were saying that Jesus didn't condemn slavery. And this off-white woman said that because kings and chiefs in Africa enslaved other Africans, that gave them permission to enslave us here in America.
What?
Yes, I had to find it and send it to you. It was just such nonsense. I moved on to another topic.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you. Well,
types of nonsense.
Well, first of all, people have to be real clear, and this is another conversation for another time, and there will be study groups and work groups to deal with some of the topics that we talk about. But people need to be real clear about knowing and understanding translations. Okay, meaning these various Bibles will tell you whose translation it is.
Uh-huh.
And so with that said, that's telling you their interpretation as to what they want to see happen. That doesn't mean it's true. See, so my point is that we have to be a little smarter and definitely a little more on point in certain things. I mean, in this day and age, years ago, we did not have access to information or you know, resources, facts and things. We just didn't have that access like that. There's no reason today, for the most part, not to, you know, do some fact checking. There's just no reason. And so, and to raise questions about certain things. Isn't it interesting that when you look at the so-called religious institutions, that the key ones, the ones that really control stuff, the books that they reference as being the book, is in their language. Those that dominate those systems, those books are in their language first as the primary. You see, so while the so-called Old Testament might have a English version, the official version is in Hebrew.
That's right. That's right.
Right? Okay. The one that is considered to be the original version is in what they call a Jewish language, even though, you know, Hebrew, there's a whole another conversation about that. But the point being, all of the dominating so-called religious institutions, the books in its original text They have control over that. The Arabs have control over what? In most countries, the Arabs are controlling Islam. So therefore, the book is in what? So these are just analysis that people need to start, they need to start recognizing some things. Because, so again, King James Version, the English Version, the English translation coming from King James, that was the authorization. So, so these are things, again, that definitely need to be examined. To a greater extent. And I mean, whatever folks do is whatever they do. I'm not here to try to tell nobody what they should or should not do. That is not my business. But I am here to provide whatever information, that I can possibly help, to bring, and particularly that is accurate. That's the other thing. Okay. All right, my sister. Well, we're going to move right along. Again, I just wanted to put those few little points out there. Sisters, the time is now. There's never been a movement for women and girls of African descent until now. So we're literally making history. And I'm telling you right now, the ones that come in at the time of the beginning, I'm almost certain that that's going to have a real significant meaning at some point in time, as in most things. Those that come in, as it's starting, as the starters, I mean, that's kind of a special kind of group there. Okay, so I'm just saying, don't do what I've learned happens in Philly. I mean, it happens all over the place. But you all know I'm working on this book called The New Philadelphia Negro, and the behavior is a national behavior, but they do it here in Philly like none other, and that is to jump in on something once it really gets rolling, once a lot of the work is done, and then they want to pop up and act like they are really a part of it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They do it all over the country, but Philly, oh my gosh, the history of them doing it in Philly is just so interesting, and they still do. Okay, but that's going to get exposed to a greater extent as well. And again, remember, the Boule was born in Philly. So again, good, bad, or indifferent, there's certain types of behavior that goes with certain things. So family, we're merely saying, don't continue the type of madness and the type of paradigms that, have been given to us. It's time to break loose. Get some of them chains off of you. Do some things a little differently now. We can. I mean, COVID just showed you that. That made us do some stuff differently. So now do it on your own. Not because of a pandemic. Anyway. All right, Sister Gabrielle, we're going to go back to you and get your closing comments for tonight, and then we're going to, this was fun. I like having a co-host.
Well, I'm just excited, especially since I learned about, the Sojourners for Truth and Justice, and to learn that many of them are our sister saints and that they were forerunners before us. And so this just goes to show that we were already that we're in line with our ancestors, the Million Woman.
Yeah.
It was already
yeah.
before us. And we have Artemis Cadre.
Absolutely.
Lorraine Hansberry was an artist, and we have
You're fading out. You gotta start over again.
So we have the Artemis Cadre, and Lorraine Hansberry was a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Shirley Dubois, which I was a little surprised, but I guess not really. I shouldn't have been surprised because she was W.B. Du Bois's wife. But just the women that came before us that set the path. And here we had already planned to go to Washington and to find out that we had our sisters there before. So just
right. That's right.
Walking in the same steps that our ancestors walked in. So that tells me that we're walking in truth.
Hey, Sister Gabrielle, check this out. there's one person on there who's a sister saint that you didn't recognize. Look at the name, Audley Moore.
Yeah, oh, Queen Mother Moore.
That's Queen Mother Moore, yep.
How did I get, well, yeah.
Yep, Queen Mother Moore, 1951, y'all.
Yes, and what did she say? Go get your reparations.
Go get your reparations, that's right. Okay. See, so, you know, so, yeah, you're right on point, Sister Gabrielle. We were, it is so clear that it was destined. We were divinely put in place.
Uh-huh.
And so now, a million black women rising, raising up the mother civilization, and more. So, y'all get ready. I mean, for those who thought that, you know, that we were going to go away or die down or whatever. Not. Nope.
That's right.
We like baby kids. Oh, goodness. So, Liz and family, again, this is the last day for the special discount for the A Million Black Women Rising Federation. This weekend, there's going to be some special sessions specifically for members and to start talking more with the international women, our women that are in various countries, because next year there's going to be an international kind of march. For lack of a better word, assembly, let's put it that way. But we're not going to tell you a lot about it right now because we know what happens. But we will be preparing accordingly. And by the way, again, we are in process of contacting various countries, nations, to get their reports on the decade for African women because MWM, Universal Movement, will be ready next year to introduce what we call the Nexus, N-E-X-X-U-S, the Nexus. And it is what we feel an appropriate follow-up, but it is our own program as well that we've been working on anyway. Again, the International Decade for African Women started in 2010. And it ended in 2020. And so now we are hoping, looking forward to getting the reports from the various countries so that we can review what was accomplished in those 10 years. And so that will help us to connect to what we need to help bring forward. So again, Cameroon, Ghana, Gambia, Nigeria, Trinidad. We already have connected with women in various countries. And we are looking to do several summits as well as festivals. We're looking to actually start locking that down very soon. Where are they going to be at? What country? There'll be black women's, or shall we say African women's world leadership and power summits, but also African women's arts and culture festivals. So these are some of the things that MWM Universal Movements is working on presently. And by the time of our 25-year anniversary, which is next year, we'll be able to tell you the when, how, where, what, all of that. But again, we encourage sisters to get involved now because we will be watching. All right, Sister Gabrielle, thank you so much, as usual, for coming in, helping me to get on for tonight because I was having some problems. And family, our regular program is Saturday, of course, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And we will be right here, Black in Living Color. And we will also be sending out information tomorrow and Friday as it pertains to some of the sessions that we'll be holding on Saturday and Sunday. And by the way, any sister who wants your business, product, or service showcased, you need to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. We will provide you with a few minutes to show your or to talk about your wares, your services, or what have you. As we now prepare to build the Global Africana Women's Marketplace and the component known as the new USA, or the real USA, United Sisters of Africa. All right. All right, Sister Gabrielle, thank you again. Thank you, family, for tuning in. And we'll talk to you all on Saturday. All right. You know what we say. There definitely can be no peace if there's no what, Sister Gabrielle?
Justice.
No justice. All right, family, till the next time, Pomoja to the Shinda. Together we shall win.
Peace.